KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
Good morning, I'm Marissa Hovde, KJAN News. We're currently sitting at a temperature of 3 below 0. Authorities in northeast Iowa have used snow from a major storm to catch two men who initially eluded a car chase. Waterloo police arrested Richard Sturdivant and Quan Lewis Cooper Thursday night after tracking the pair's footprints in the snow. The men initially led police on a pursuit following an attempted traffic stop. Police stopped the car chase because of poor driving conditions from the snow. The University of Iowa temporarily has halted its sharing of information with local law enforcement about students who apply for gun permits. University officials told the Gazette on Thursday that they will be consulting with federal officials for guidance on confidentiality rules. The Des Moines Register first reported the university was sharing information normally kept confidential as required by the Federal Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. Deputies with the Red Oak Police Department responded to Hope's Bar in Montgomery County last night on a call of two men involved in an altercation. Dean Glenn Heideman Jr. and Rodney Lynn Vanderhoof were both arrested for disorderly conduct and taken to the Montgomery County Law Enforcement Center. They were both being held on $300 cash bond. An ape sanctuary in central Iowa is resuming public tours this year. The Iowa Primate Learning Sanctuary will offer tours through online reservations. The tours will be limited to 25 people and will run about an hour and a half. The sanctuary near Des Moines was previously called Great Ape Trust. Its director, Sue Savage Rumbaugh, was accused last year by former workers of endangering the apes and being mentally unfit for the job. A sanctuary board cleared her, and the facility has passed several federal inspections since then. The tours will include a lecture and a bonobo demonstration. The sanctuary is asking visitors to donate a minimum of $20 for adults and $14 for children. Governor Terry Branstad will make famed NASCAR driver Rusty Wallace an honorary Iowan during a ceremony at the state capitol. Branstad is set to give a proclamation to Wallace on Wednesday afternoon. He will honor Wallace's contribution to race car driving and his role in developing the Iowa Speedway. Wallace has had 55 NASCAR Cup wins and won the 1989 championship. He was inducted into the NASCAR Hall of Fame earlier this month. Since retiring in 2005, he has worked to promote NASCAR and has been an analyst on ESPN. Wallace is a designer and part owner of the Iowa Speedway, which opened in 2006 in Newtown. Nearly 50 people have applied for a position to lead Iowa's largest public school district. Des Moines School Board President Dick Murphy says a search firm helped the district cut the list of applicants for superintendent to 14 people. The board then narrowed the list of 6 finalists during a meeting Thursday. Additional interviews will be held Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. The board will announce 2 or 3 finalists to the public after the interviews. Additional interviews will then be televised in early March. The board plans to announce a new superintendent by the middle of March. The new leader will replace Nancy Sebring, who abruptly stepped down from the job in May. The Iowa Supreme Court says a woman must be buried in Iowa, even though she clearly wanted her final resting place to be in Montana. The court says in a ruling Friday that Mary Florence Whalen's husband, Michael, has the final say, even though she left specific instructions for burial in Billings, Montana. Her husband plans to bury her in Anamosa. Her body has been sent to a funeral home there since her death in June. The court says a 2008 Iowa law creates a process for people to spell out in specific documents who they want to handle burial arrangements. Since Whalen didn't do that, the court, in a 5-2 decision, says her husband decides. Chief Justice Mark Cady says the majority of justices are misinterpreting the law. The Iowa Supreme Court has reversed the conviction of a man charged in 2010 in Des Moines with driving under the influence of a drug, saying there was not sufficient evidence for a jury to convict him. The court says in a ruling Friday that since the man, Jeffrey Shorys, had a prescription for methadone, prosecutors had to prove that he was not using the drug in accordance with his doctor's instructions. Since that didn't occur at his trial, a majority of justices dismissed the case against him. However, 3 justices disagreed, saying the court shouldn't override the jury's verdict. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Thomas Waterman says the court's ruling means expert testimony will be required in more cases involving charges of driving under the influence of drugs. In funeral announcements this morning, Lois M. Field, 94, of Harlan, died February 6th at the Elm Crest Retirement Community. A funeral service for Lois M. Field will be held at 11 a.m. today at the Community of Christ Church in Woodbine. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Kristen Lee Judkins, 34, of Lincoln, Nebraska, died Tuesday, February 19th in Lincoln. Funeral services for Kristen Judkins will be held at 1 p.m. today at the Oakland United Methodist Church in Oakland. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has the arrangements. Betty Jane Shepherd, 87, of rural Stewart, died Saturday, February 16th at her home. A memorial service for Betty Jane Shepherd will be held today at 1:30 p.m. at the Stewart Mount Vernon United Methodist Church. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Dennis Frederick Coles, 82, of Erling, died Monday, February 18th at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. A Mass of Christian burial service for Dennis Coles will be held 2 p.m. today at St. Joseph's Catholic Church in Erling. Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Leo Armstrong, 77, of Fontenelle, died February 15th at his home in Fontenelle. Per his wishes, his body was cremated, and no services will be held for Leo Armstrong, but a gathering of remembrance will be held at the United Methodist Church in Fontenelle on Sunday, February 24th, from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Alexander Alex Adam Yeager, 17, of Atlantic, died Thursday, February 21st at Children's Hospital. Funeral services for Alex Yeager will be held 10:30 a.m. Monday, February 25th, at the Saints Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Ray Schaefer, 93, of Cannon City, Colorado, died Sunday, February 17th at his home. Graveside services for Ray Schaefer will be held 11 a.m. Monday, February 25th at the Dexter City Cemetery. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Dexter has the arrangements. Eva Mae Hansen, 71, of Avoca and formerly of Harlan, died Thursday, February 21st at the Avoca Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services for Eva Mae Hansen will be held 1 p.m. Monday, February 25th at the Polly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Francis E. McClure, 81, of Stewart, died Wednesday, February 20th at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Francis E. McClure will be held on Tuesday, February 26th at 11 a.m. at the First Congregational Church in Stewart. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has the arrangements. Craig Cullen, 53, of Greenfield, died Wednesday, February 20th, 2013 at the Iowa Methodist Medical Center in Des Moines. A gathering of remembrance for Craig Cullen will be held from 4 to 8 p.m. March 1st in the 4-H building at the Adair County Fairgrounds in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Norman Henriksen, 86, of Atlantic, died Thursday, February 21st at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral service for Norman Henriksen will be held at 11 a.m. Saturday, March 2nd at St. Paul's Lutheran Church. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Eileen L. Haynes, 91, of Oakland, died Thursday, February 21st, at the Oakland Manor Nursing Home. Funeral services for Eileen Haynes are pending at the Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland. That's a check of news this hour. I'm Marissa Hovde reporting KJAN News.